Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You got a lot going on. You got a lot going on. A lot she can't announce, even.
Yeah. Listen, I'm here, but I am I'm exhausted. Did I tell you that I got another podcast job?
Another one?
I know. Another one.
Listen, wow. I mean, congratulations, friend. I mean, she's the strike is over. Okay. Mama got bills to pay. How many is that now? Three?
Yes. Yeah, it's three. Hopefully I can't announce it now, but hopefully I can share the details soon. And do not get me wrong, it's great. I'm really happy to have work, but it is kicking my butt. I don't know how Nicole Byer does it. That woman has like 11 podcasts.
Her and Beyonce with children.
Okay. She sleeps in those headphones, I'm sure. She's always working. And I will say it's been really fun to get to work in different things and work with different people. But if I'm honest, it kind of feels like I'm cheating on you. And let me fix it.
Listen, I'm not going to say it, but I'm going to say it. When you said another podcast, I was like, girl, damn. Can you keep it in your pants? God. But you're a poly podcast.
Yes. Okay. Yes. I'm an ethical slutty podcaster.
Very right. Equal opportunity. Mm-hmm. Okay. As long as you got a microphone, she'll show up. but we keep lines of communication open in this house. I'm fully aware that you're seeing other hosts and I'm okay with that.
Okay,
I just wanted to let you know that.
Yes.
But please feel free to share all the things you miss about me when you're traipsing around, you know, dipping and diving, ducking to recording studios, having your needs met by other hosts.
wait a second.
Are the mics bigger on that side from Jessica? Huh? What? Tell me the truth.
Wait a second. The mic size.
It's because my mic is black.
Oh my God. Listen, no, your mic is great. Every other host I talk to, they're using those little tiny mics. The little baby mics. No, your mic.
They're using the TikTok videos.
They're using the TikTok mic. Your mic is the biggest.
Well, you know what they say. As long as it packs a punch, who cares what the size is? I trusted you.
Wow.
I trusted you to be my friend, to be my collaborator, my partner.
I disclosed that I was seeing other hosts.
Oh, so you want cookies? Ooh, wait. No.
Listen, listen.
Listen.
Listen. wait.
I hate you for that.
Let me fix it.
Welcome back to Let Me Fix It, the podcast filled with endless puns and sexual innuendos, but oddly enough, still no marriage proposals, Francesca.
Where are they at?
Wait, and listen, I'm DeLon. I'm an actor, a singer, a photographer, a writer, and yes, my DMs are wide open.
Oh yeah, get at him. And I am Francesca Ramsey. I'm an actress, a producer, writer, and former graphic designer. And a few weeks ago, we did our very first ever round robin episode, and we had such a blast with it that we thought, why not do it again? Move over, Fast and Furious. There's a new hot franchise in town.
I see you, pun lady. I'm here for a franchise. You know, my IMDb is already being updated.
Oh, hell yeah. Let's go. I'm talking two robin. I have more. Round Robin Games, Overdrive.
Oh.
Round Robin Games, The Thirst Continues. Round Robin, Todos Contra Todos.
No, en español. You better dígame en español. Shit.
Round Robin Games, She's Running Out of Subtitles.
I don't know. Round Robin Games, The Underbite. Ew. Why did that come to my head? The
don't
underbite?
You? I'm sorry. Are you talking about my man? My dog?
You know I was coming for flex.
Don't come for flex.
Where she got the finger pointing and everything.
Suddenly my whole, you could call me a slutty podcast host, but once you talk about my dog.
She's coming.
Then I'm, nice. We really are going to have some problems with you. If you have any more round robin movie titles, please feel free to share them with us. Let me fix it pod at gmail.com.
Right, because, you know, Fran's a writer, so she's going to take up that space. She's always going to write, you know, a very tired writer currently, though. So, guys, instead of devoting this week's episode to just one musician, one brand, or one celebrity, we're instead taking turns sharing different topics round robin style. And as usual, then we're going to fix them.
Yes, and so to keep things interesting, we have not seen each other's topics ahead of time, so this means lots of surprises, lots of yes-anding, and plenty of laughs, but the real fun is all the fixes that we'll make along the way.
Okay. That's kind of poignant. Look, a jingle all the way post-Christmas, okay?
Thank you. So let's dive in. Let me fix it. The Round Robin Games, Tokyo Drift! P.S. My mom is sitting on the couch just like
walking. I was just gonna ask.
She's just like, I was like, do you want headphones or something while I'm recording?
Oh my God.
She's like, no, I just want to listen.
Oh, I learned her. She should come into the frame.
No. Do you want to wave?
I'll just come say hi to
me. She just gave a thumbs up. I'll make her come over when we're done recording.
Okay,
she's
I want to say like Merry Christmas.
In heaven. This is like I am such an only child. All right, Delon, why don't you go first?
Okay, so my first round robin topic is needing to be right.
Oh.
I fall victim to this a lot. I think we all fall
I don't,
victim
that, this
to
has never happened to me.
Ooh, it was a little too quick, a little too high.
The fact that that's how you responded, I am so offended.
Because, girl, listen. We are cut from a similar cloth, and I know you too well.
Yes.
So I do think needing to be right is a little bit of a disease, right? It can prevent you from hearing another's point of view. In some instances, it can like just eclipse the truth, right? Insert the conspiracy theory or propaganda, right? So my fix for it is just realizing that needing to be right is more about needing to be seen and heard.
Ooh.
Yeah. And I think we kind of, the ego mixes it up in there a little bit. Mm-hmm. Bastardized version of this would be, if I'm right, my point of view is validated. Thus, I am validated, right. Meaning that I feel seen and heard, right? But like I said, not to get too Freudian on us, but I think the ego gets mixed up in there, and there's a really strong need for control, right? I need to, the power of dominating the conversation, the power of controlling the discourse. And if it's the empathy factor, like I feel like if you reached across and were like, well, listen, that person has a really strong point of view. They're taking a lot of air out of the room.
They need to have space in that respect.
They need to have space. And I mean, I normally in these instances get really frustrated because I'm a bit of an empath. So in social situations, I'm like, ugh, would you just like realize that somebody else needs to talk?
Yeah.
Or would you read the room or insert the blank, right?
Yeah, I've encountered these types too. And I hear you that I think this is something that everybody struggles with, but it's the people who are listening to respond versus actually listening.
Yes.
It makes me think of when I was in couples therapy. And one of the things that our therapist told us to do, which was so hard, was before you were allowed to respond, you had to reiterate what the other person said.
Ooh.
Not to say that you agreed with them, but just to prove that you were actually listening. Because how often have you, you know, had like a heated exchange with someone, even if it's somebody that you really love and respect, and, you know, we're all guilty of it, where you're just like, that thing they said was wrong. I'm going to like, I got to jump in. And you didn't actually finish listening to what they said.
Right,
you just kind of like blacked out so that you could get your point in there. So what do you think it is that would help make people better with dealing with this?
Oh, I think, like I said, it's like the empathy factor for me. Mm. I would say it's twofold. The empathy factor, like you said, realizing that person really needs this space. That person really needs to be seen and heard. And kind of taking a backseat and being like, you know what? I'm actually not, unless it's like, you know, violent or something you can't stand
to
let happen. But like letting it go and just being like, you know what? That's what you need. That this yeah. What are the stakes here for me? For me, it's reserving my own peace.
Yeah.
That would be the first thing. And also realizing that, like, the more, and this happened on Facebook, so this is why I'm not really on Facebook like that anymore.
That's the home of it. That's in their business plan, I'm sure. The way our site will thrive is everyone wants to argue.
Facebook, colon, everybody's right. legit, like, it was just like you round and round and round and round. And like you said, nobody's hearing one another, yeah. right? I got accused by an ex of mine of being of running back the tape. And he was right.
What do you mean running? What do you mean?
So in the midst of an argument, my kind of default is I will go, okay, yeah, great. But at 2:47, you said this, and they're like, no. And
I'm
like, no. Literally. I'm like, but you said this, mm-hmm. and this, which in some ways is not the most productive.
Right.
You know, if you're trying, it's that old adage. Do you want to be right or do you want to be married? Do you want to be right or do you want to be in a relationship?
Well, we know how that turned out for me.
She's right.
I win. No, you know what? To your earlier point, something that I've gotten a lot better about, especially online, because, you know, I spend way too much time on the internet and I honestly offer too much space to people, even when I disagree with them. But I often just default to saying to people, I hear you. Not that I agree. I'm not saying I agree with you. I just say, I hear where you're coming from, or I can understand where you got there. Or, you know what? That's fair is a thing that I say a lot.
You say that a lot. And I think that actually came into like the lexicon or the colloquial verbiage in the last couple of years. But you were one of the first people I heard say that. That's fair. It just acknowledges what was said.
It helps.
You know, and it diffuses it. And it goes, okay, sure. That's how you see things.
Yeah.
And that's okay. That's okay. It's actually, I think this is... talk about Buddha and enlightenment. I think like this is the first level of it, right?
Yeah,
being able to go, you know what, you're wrong, but I'm gonna let it go.
Yeah, and I've also said this. Well, this is like the internal dialogue sometimes for me in these conversations is you're allowed to be wrong. You are welcome to do that.
Yeah, listen, many a person has been and will be. And I also, the reason I like discourse so much, and I think I get into these kind of discussions that often end up looking like debate, and it is that I want to be right, but I realize I also want to be heard. But I also like discourse because your point of view might shift my point of view. You're coming from a part of the world, not you, Francesca, but like the proverbial you is coming from a part of the world or an experience that I don't have.
I think you're very rare in that instance, I think.
Yes. I say I'm a unicorn. I'll take it.
I didn't say that, but sure. If
But
you
she's
know what?
Right.
But fair. I hear you.
I hear you. I see you. Yeah, but like I get into these debates and I'm like, no. I like this because it also allows me to solidify my point of view and be like, I am right.
Yeah. Just make sure like you can fully stand 10 toes down. It like the person in a sense is almost like helping to poke holes in your point of view to make sure that you really do believe that. Because then again, you might change your mind, which I think speaks to your character. And I'm the same way too. Like I'm open to having my perspective shifted. I acknowledge I don't know everything, but at the same time, I am very resolved in what I believe. So if we'll get into it, let's get into it. Because I have things to say.
Well, listen, and not only things to say, but girl, I mean, class, you know, you'll learn this as we go along, but we've talked about it a little bit. Fran keeps every email. She has, you send her an email, you send her a DM. Mm-hmm. She is like, she's like the internet. She will find it.
Queen of run back the tape.
Yes.
Call me an accountant because I got the receipts.
Okay.
I got a spreadsheet. I got a drawer.
Crunching numbers. I'm really amazed. She will find it. She will find it. And write you the longest email with all of bullet points and details. Yes, citations. Indexed. What do you call it? Work cited.
Oh, there's a bibliography
and a table of contents. So that's my first fix. What's yours, Fran?
All right. So I was thinking about this after our last vacation together. I think there needs to be a new relationship status that is not marriage, but is higher than best friend. And the reason for that is, you know, I think we definitely want to do a whole vacations episode, but one of the things that was so interesting to me is how often people just assumed that we were married and then seemed disappointed when we said that we're not. As if like...
Wait. I'm thinking of that couple in the pool on our last day.
Yes.
You guys, so class, there was a friend I go on this vacation to Cancun. There's this couple in the pool. They said something about something at the resort and we couldn't help ourselves but chime up and like make jokes with them and like made like fast, quick friends with
there were two ladies, but they were older, right.
So clearly in retirement, whatever. But the couple anyway asked, where are you guys from? And Fran goes, I live in LA. I live in New York. Delana, I said, I live in New York. And they go, oh, must keep the, what did they say?
They were like, a long distance marriage.
Long distance
marriage. They just, like, they automatically defaulted to the fact that we must be married.
And then we both started laughing and I was like, no, I'm very gay.
Yeah, we were like, no. And they were like cute about it, but like, you know, there would be rose petals on the table whenever we would go to dinner and stuff like that.
Yes.
Or like when they did that that presentation to us to try and get us to be members, everyone seemed to like break their brain as soon as we were like, no, we're not married. You know, like, we don't do that. And so it got me thinking about the fact that there should be, like, you know, whatever. Not that I will never get married again. Who knows? I might. But when I was thinking about it, people who are unmarried, they kind of exist in this, like, weird space where people are like, well, you don't have a partner. You don't know what it's like.
Right.
I need to take extra time because I have kids, or it's my anniversary, or, like, we've been married for this many years. But when you say, like, we've been friends for 20 years, people are like, okay, cool, that's great, good for you.
Right.
Like, what are the benefits? You know what I mean? Like, even when we booked the resort, I was like, it would have been so nice if they had put our rooms next to each other so that we could...
Right.
You know, like, there should be some sort of, I am jokingly calling it, my fix is to call it, like, I have you as my emergency contact. Mm-hmm. I was thinking you'd say, oh, this is my EC. This is my EC.
Oh.
So we could share airline miles, maybe, or maybe we buy a property together, or I have healthcare and I can put you on my healthcare. And I'm like, oh, you know, I'm just going to put my EC down, right? Like, so I just like the idea of giving people the option to say, this person is important to me. They're an important staple in my life. They are not my romantic partner, but we have a partnership of sorts. And again, there's nothing wrong with saying best friend, but I just want something that has a little bit more
gravitas, a little bit more. It's grown a little. Because best friend is great. We all have them.
Childish.
You're my best friend. It sounds really juvenile. It sounds like really small. And like what you're saying, it sounds like to me is like, no, this person actually takes up a lot of space in my life.
Yes.
I mean, I was trying to think of something to call that person or name for it. I think EC is so cute.
It's cute. Because
I was doing some writing and I was talking about what it's like to put down your friend as your emergency contact, which is like always you or my friend Kirsten or somebody as my emergency contact. And how it feels weird, right? How it feels like
a little embarrassed.
Kinda. It's like when you go to the doctor and they're like, how many drinks did you have this week? And you're like, two. Surgeon General says how many I can. I think EC is really cute. And I also appreciate that too. Because it changes our minds, right? It actually elevates the person in my mind to go, oh no, they're very significant in my life. And all rights are reserved for them too.
Yeah.
Right. It's an evolution of the species in some
ways. Like, how cool would it be if you're like, you know what? Me and my EC are buying a house together. We're buying a vacation. We've talked about this, but the vacation property.
Right.
And that it's not strange to be like, yes, we want separate bedrooms. Everyone's like, God, their marriage must be on the rocks. No, we're ECs. Got it. Oh, okay. Or maybe we need to like rebrand friend zone. I feel like friend zone has such like a negative connotation because it's...
Oh, you're putting somebody in the friend zone?
Yeah. Like if you're not going to sleep with them, they're in the friend zone. But like, what if I don't know. I do like EC. I'm just pitching.
Yeah.
I'm just pitching.
I mean, because life partner is very friend. I can't think off the top of my head.
I mean, maybe I just knocked it out of the park with EC. She is a writer.
I love emergency contact, EC. I really dig it.
All right, Delon.
That's great.
What is your next topic?
Okay, so we're just coming out of the holiday season, mm-hmm. right? And my question is, has it gone too far?
Now, is this your EC status speaking? Because you ain't got no man?
Well, I do. You're onto something.
Because holidays are very like family and partner and kids and all that, which is, you know, fine. But again, right. if you don't inhabit those spaces, you might feel differently about that time of year.
I'm just a Scrooge. I'm just a little bit of a Scrooge. And it's not because like I don't. And it's mainly around gift getting, Ooh. Right? I was in this elevator and during the holidays, and this woman said, I held the elevator for her and she got in and she was like, oh, I was like, oh, rough day, like a big sigh. I was like, oh, girl, I don't talk to people like that, but you are going through it. She's like, oh, I just finished the shopping, last one. I was like, oh, good. She's like, it's getting to be too much. I was like, I know. We had this whole thing in the elevator where she was like, this is a lot. Why do I buy gifts like this for mm-hmm. everyone? And every year I try to get my family to like scale it back. I don't need.
Like y'all don't have a budget on gifts?
We've done that before. But every year I'm just like, I don't need anything.
Yeah.
Anything I want, I'm sure
you'll buy for yourself.
I'm going to get it. So don't worry about it. So it ends up being like, socks and scarves and things here and there, maybe books or something like that, which like get it. Gift yeah. giving is about the act of giving.
Yeah.
But I only get the joy of giving when I want to give. I don't want to be like thrust into it because yeah. of a holiday, save for the kids. I have a nephew and a niece, and that part, my sister last year was like, hey, the kids need books. Just get them books. And I was like, oh, I got them glow in the dark this.
Now listen,
I got
you them are the problem. Now you are the problem. You just said it's too much. And your sister said books and you said toys.
Well, because again, it's about the kids. It's about the kids.
I know. I'm just holding your feet to the fire to say I hear you on it being too much. I have a different perspective. Because I'm an only child, I don't have siblings to buy presents for. I don't have nieces and nephews. I get gifts from my friends, and I shout out to that gift drawer. I collect gifts Ooh. All year round. So when you the really holidays do. Come up, I'm not scrambling. I'm going right in that drawer, and I'm saying, you get a candle.
Boop, boop,
you get a candle. You get a candle. yeah, and candy. I like candy. Again, on Ooh. The topic of like not... crowding up people's spaces, because I hear you on that, where like sometimes I get gifts from people and I'm really thankful, but I'm like, where do I put that?
My apartment's that big.
I have no place to put this. I don't know what to do with it. So I do try to default to practical gifts, reusable things, like and things that have like a specific purpose. Like I love giving like special pens and journals. Mm. Like those are things where I'm like, throw a pen in your purse, you know, you'll write in this journal and you'll put it on a bookshelf, things like that. A candle, you'll burn the candle and then it'll be gone. Like
right.
just trying to default to things that are just usable, and it's like, use it and then you're done with it. Like bath products are things that I really like, you know.
That's like a bath bomb.
Like a bath bomb, or like a fancy soap, or the thing that you kind of, you know, sprinkle in the bathtub or something like that. I love stuff like that.
Sidebar on the soap thing. I got a gift card to Aesop. Is it Aesop or Aesop?
Oh yeah, that's like a skincare place, right?
Skincare, right? So first of all, I have to call them because the gift card didn't work.
Oh.
And I haven't told my friend, but I'm not gonna tell him. It's fine.
Maybe that's a scam. Maybe your friend is like, I steal gift cards, don't activate them, and then I go, I don't know why it's not working.
Because they were like, this is not working. This is empty. I was like, okay. but I went in there and I was like, oh, $80 soap? Whatever it is. Not $80.
Oh,
it was a lot. Though.
It was a lot, yeah.
But because I was in there, I ended up getting something anyway. And I was like, oh my God, it's worth it. So an Aesop is a good gift.
I will say, I think skincare is one of those things it's worth investing in. You don't want like budget skincare. Like, not to say that it's not, can't work, but if you're spending a little bit of money on it, I feel like, and maybe this is just the marketing, I'm like, I feel like it's better.
Wait, you're not going to give like some Clean and Clear? Some Noxzema.
No shade to either of those brands, but you know, I want something with, again, gravitas, a word that I thank you for using that word, because that is a that's a good hearty word, you know.
Hefty.
Give me something with an accent mark on it, like a Lemaire.
Lemaire. What was that, the one that they were talking about had like baby penis in it?
No, I don't know what that is.
Wait, it was like it was like the baby foreskin. What are you talking about?
What? Why would someone even? Now, you know what? I hate when
we're taking it too far.
When I learn about weird ingredients like that, I always think, how many weird things that didn't work did they have to try? You know what I mean? They were like, we put some elephant snot in there. Nope, not. Turns out, we'll make your skin fall off. But then we tried this thing. You know what I mean? It makes me think about, you know, that really expensive coffee. It's like the most expensive coffee, and it comes from a little cat in the woods that like eats the coffee beans and then poops it out.
What are you talking about?
There is a really.
What are you? This baby foreskin is no better. But like,
no,
what are you talking about?
It's not. But I every single time it's like a $300 cup of coffee. It's supposedly like the best cup of coffee you'll ever have, and the way that the coffee is made is this little like forest cat eats the beans, poops it out, and then they make the coffee with the beans. And every single time I hear about it, I'm always like, how many gross coffee beans did they try before they were like, these are the ones? What?
And what's the person, the lady walking in the woods picks it up, was like, oh, I should crush this up and put some water in and see what happens.
What made you think to try that?
So fucking weird. My fix for the holiday gift thing is I'm going to try to... Like, you and I have experiences together a lot. We vacation a lot together. We come to each coast and visit each other. I'm going to try to do more things like that. Mm. Like, hey, I didn't... This holiday, for our holiday gift, like, let's get together for, like, a holiday dinner.
Yeah.
You know, just you and I to catch up, or a holiday call or something. Or you actually told me about this, or put this in my brain hole. Sending, like... a gift, like a little a food package,
a basket,
or something, a little gift package, a little
the cookies,
little basket, cookies. Love. And then sitting down, it's like, let's have a call with that thing that I sent you. Mm-hmm. You know, and we'll both eat the thing and talk about it. So I think I'm gonna try to veer toward that because of my Scrooge tendencies.
I love that. And I will also add, you kind of touched on it with your friend's scammy gift card scheme. Ooh. But I love a gift card. I feel like gift card is the easiest thing to
it
do.
It is, but why does it feel like I'm not doing it right? Why does
what?
It feel
they give you shit for it?
I feel like, I don't know. I don't know where I got this from, but I think somebody must have judged me for it at some point. But I do remember being like, oh, I guess get my family gift cards, because I was doing that for a while. And I felt like, oh God, you're just opening a gift card on Christmas. Yay. It was like underwhelming.
I don't know. I mean, I even think like the act of opening gifts, like I don't need to watch you open it. Like it's great, but like, you know, I gave you a present. Shoot me a text and say thank you for the whatever. Like, right. You know, I think the whole, the gift giving and like wanting to see that happen and like the surprise, that's for kids.
It really is.
Even if I got you something nice, you're not going to jump up and down. I'm an adult. You know what I mean?
Well, and how disappointing is it when someone opens it and they go, thank you. And you're like, could you act a little bit?
Yeah.
Damn.
I don't need any of that. I'm happy enough to like bring the bag, show them that I got them something. And like, that's enough for me.
That's plenty. Or what's your next one, Fran?
Okay. My next one is influencer kids. Now, this is something that I have had as like, I don't know, like not a passion project, but it's just been something that's been on my heart. And I do not have children, but as somebody that's in the online space, a lot of people are using their kids for content, and it really bothers me. And people are not thinking about like the long-term consequences. You know, your kid's having a meltdown and you whip out the camera because you're like, this is going to go viral on TikTok, you know? Or, you know, dressing your kid up in different costumes and having them do lip syncs and stuff. Like I watched one yesterday. They were lip syncing Kevin Hart and dropping F-bombs all over them. It was a child. It was a kid and the mom. And the kid was like, listen up, motherfucker. And
oh my God.
I was just like, this is how I know that I'm old, because I was just like, this is not funny to me. Like I just feel like this is a mistake. The other thing that I often think about too is people that are making money off of their online presence and their kid.
Yeah.
We have all of these special laws for child actors. the Coogan laws to set aside their money. And even with those laws, there are tons of kids who become adults and say, my parents stole all my money. You know,
Gary like, Coleman.
Exactly. Like they, I got screwed over. Macaulay Culkin is like, I'm gonna, you know, emancipate myself from my parents. Right. And so I was thinking about how we don't have any of those protections for influencers. So I would love to see that. But then the thing that I also thought about is, you know, we've had all of these conversations about AI and the SAG AI protections are candidly not what I would love them to be. But what I would love to see is like, could we use AI to conceal the identity of children? So like maybe your kid is in a video and like we could use AI to make them like a little dragon or something. So it's like you and like, or like make them into a little alien or put a different, put some sort of like,
create like a, an emoji. What do you call it?
Yeah, like a sticker or something that like, that is like floating over their face or something. I don't know. Like I just, to me,
it's a new phase. It can be a whole new phase.
It's
right?
a whole new, or like to disguise their voice or whatever. Cause the thing that I think about, and maybe I've just listened to too many crime podcasts, is people are on the internet sharing your kid's birthday and their favorite color and what's up. And a stranger could walk up to your kid on the street and be like, yeah, I know your mom so-and-so. And I know that your favorite color is this. And I know that you guys went to this trip. How would I know this if I wasn't friends with your mommy? You know, like that's what I think about. And so, you know, the other thing I often think is celebrities never want their kids online. Celebrities always have a magazine over the kid's face. Or remember when Michael Jackson had his kids in those little masks? And now I'm like, now what did the celebrities know that y'all don't fucking know? You're like, let me put my kid all over here. But they want their kids to have anonymity and to, you know, be able to live without the watchful eye of the internet and paparazzi and stuff.
Well, there are some celebrities that you don't even, that I know have kids that I've never seen on the
Gary
Instagram.
Washington. America
Ferrera. Never seen their kids.
Never. You see the back of that kid's head. So, yeah, I think like if, I don't know. I don't know how we would use AI in that way, but to me, that feels like an interesting opportunity. Turn your kid into a talking dog or something.
I love that use of AI because like, there's a big conversation right now around AI and how we use it and how dangerous it could potentially be and what is it going to do to humanity, which I think is the same thing they said about the internet in a lot of ways, but the internet had more benefits than I think.
And the internet is still used in the wrong ways all the time.
Right. But that is, I love that idea because I also think like when you are an influencer, as you, I could say to you, a lot of your life is just on display.
Yeah.
Right. Flex isn't the same thing as he's a dog, but like Flex is all over. Flex has his own Instagram. It like just becomes currency. Right. So especially if you're, it's all in this together, you know,
the
High
family.
School Musical 3, the family, then like there's, it's weird not to have your kids or if you're announcing that you're pregnant, that's such a life moment.
Or what
you're
if
sharing
like,
so much of your life.
Or what if the AI can detect, for example, to your point, right? Like, okay, you're a family vlogger. There's so much stuff that you can make content about that does not include your kids. But a lot of times what ends up happening is you have kids and then your whole channel becomes kids. What if the platforms could determine what percentage of content includes kids? So it's like you have a 30% cap a month is how much you can do kids content. And so like the AI is like analyzing, are your kids faces in the content? And if they are, it like edits,
it
like covers them and like edits them out or something, or there's some sort of like mandatory trust account that goes, you know, you do a brand deal for Clorox or whatever, 30% and you have kids and the kids are in the content, 30% or 40% goes into a trust and you cannot touch it and can't do it until you're 18. And my hope would be that then that would discourage people. They'd be like, well, it's not worth it. Like, I just won't put the kids in it so that I can get the 100% of the ad revenue or, you know what I mean? Or like, so my content doesn't get flagged because now there's going to be a big blurry spot in all of my videos or something like that.
Well, and I also think about those viral YouTube videos that like, I mean, I could name five off the top of my head, but like David After Dentist comes.
Charlie
Bit My Finger. Those kids who are now, I'm sure, adults by now, right? Who have had their whole life based on this video. And I mean, maybe they might be able to use it as currency and say, oh, I'm Charlie from Charlie Bit My Finger. Mm-hmm. I think he was on like some talk show that he and his brother were on some talk show after that. But like they're already on the internet. They don't get to make those decisions, yeah. to your point. They don't get to like decide. They're like, oh, my face is already out there. People already know me. And they have no agency therein. Yeah. So I do hear you.
And
on
I would
that.
Say with those ones, those were like one-offs. And I think that that's fine. You know, if you post a video and it happens to go viral, I think that's very different from like selling merch with your kid's face on it. You know, like yeah, your kid having their own Instagram. And I listened to a podcast recently that was talking to a young woman who's now 19 and she was a former gymnast and she had a whole online brand around her doing gymnastics. Now, this was a little girl. Now, who is watching little girls do gymnastics on Instagram?
Oh, gosh.
And she was saying, and it was really interesting.
Other little girls, hopefully.
I mean, you can see the demographics. And she was saying that she felt, as she got a little bit older, she asked her dad if she could start editing her own content because she wasn't comfortable with some of the ways that he was editing. Like she would be at competitions, like standing around on the sidelines and having like all these lingering shots of her in her, you know,
leotard.
In her leotard and stuff. And she could see on the back end of the YouTube videos that she had a large male audience and she was a little girl, you know, and it was really interesting. If I can find the name of the podcast, I'll put it in the show notes because she was kind of, the interviewer was doing a really good job of like not shitting on the girl's parents, but you could tell that like things were unlocking for her. It's like when the interviewer was asking her these questions, where the responsibility was on the parents to protect her. And now here she is at 19 being like, holy shit, wait a second.
One of the things I wanted to say about you being like the scenario you painted, knitting a sweater, as I like to call it, when you were like, what if that little kid's walking down the street and some man's coming up to her and be like, I know your birthday. Mm-hmm. I know the trip you took. That, you said this, but that is us getting older.
Yes.
Because I realized, I think a couple of years ago, I was like, I have been in this on vacation. I've been in this city by myself multiple times and I am more scary than the last time. I'm like way more cautious. I think that's just life experience.
Yeah.
So like the more you experience things, the more you watch true crime podcasts, right? The more you see the scenarios or the potentialities they're in.
I feel that looking back on my youth where I'm like, I was doing so many stupid things.
Absolutely.
So many stupid things. And I'm like, and to your point, it's like when you're young, you don't think about the consequences. You genuinely think like, I'm going to live forever. I'm going to be able to do whatever I want.
I'm going
to
learn how to fly. But also like you think you're going to live forever. You think you're infallible. Mm-hmm. And in some ways I would say, you know, sow your oats, make a mistake, mm-hmm. fail. But also, like, I put myself in some scenarios that could have, like, turned left.
1,000%. You know? All right, what's your next one?
So, my next one is going to be a little controversial.
Ooh, I love these ones, though.
So, guys, your dogs don't belong everywhere.
I laugh because I know my dog don't belong everywhere. He'll bite somebody.
Oh, your dog definitely doesn't belong everywhere. Shoot, I don't know if people could come in your house.
No, don't say that. He's nicer. He's nicer now.
But listen, I have learned to love
DeLon has
your
a grudge because Flex definitely bit DeLon.
The first time I met that dog, he was chill as fuck. Bit my hand off.
Yeah. In New York, it's bad.
Oh. I was in a fucking Sweet Green, the restaurant.
Not a restaurant.
Your dogs do not belong in eating establishments unless you are, it's a seeing eye dog or an emotional support dog.
Right.
Sure, I get behind that. But this fucking dog, owner not paying attention, licking the floor, licking the walls because there was like, you know, food.
No.
Must have been lingering food.
No.
I'm sitting there eating my salad. I was like, what in the world?
They do that in LA too. People bring their... And here's the thing too, like, not that I think you should bring your dog into a restaurant, but if your dog is going to be in a restaurant, it needs to be a good dog. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know... Yes. I don't even bring my dog to the coffee shop because I know that if my dog sees another dog, he's going to freak out. And I don't want people... I don't like kids pet my dog. And even if it's an adult, I usually say, put your, you know, the backside of your hand because sometimes he'll nip and you just don't know. He's like he did with you. He doesn't give a warning. Sometimes he's just like, you are giving Capricorn, bite. And then like, that's it.
He's like, yeah, I'm like, that smell.
Yeah. He's like, something about you is off. Conversely, people in LA will be in a restaurant and the dog is just like, rah, 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 rah. I'm like, that dog should not be in the restaurant. It should be seen and not heard, quiet, laying down under the table, not making a sound.
And your the response of those owners is always like, Fido, Fido, come on, Fido. And you're like, no, you need to pull that.
The dog's name is never Fido. The dog's name is like Pistachio. Like, it's something so weird and bougie.
But the other thing that happens in New York is, and I put some pictures of this in the doc. So New York City has an ordinance, I will say, or a rule that you cannot bring your canine on the subway unless it fits in a bag. So what New Yorkers have done is they've just taken an enormous bag and cut four holes in the bottom of it, like in a big IKEA bag. And they've literally just been like, I'm going to walk my dog on the train in this bag.
That is so freaking funny. So I like the one on the backpack. That to me, I think, is okay. Because the point of the bag is supposed to be that the dog is not roaming around.
Is contained.
If it's got holes in the bottom of the bag and it can walk, you might as well just not have the bag at all. What is the point?
Right. I mean, I appreciate the wink or the subversion of the rule, right? It makes me like cock my head and roll my eyes.
Yeah.
Also, because the other thing is like, not everyone likes dogs.
Right.
People are scared of dogs. Right. People are allergic to dogs. I was on the train recently and this guy had his dog and the dog looked very sweet. I'm a huge dog person. I will love on your dog to death. As long as your dog ain't trying to bite me and isn't vicious, I will love on the dog to death. So the dog looked very, very sweet on the subway. But there was a woman that got on the train and she's like, and like totally went to the other side.
As she should.
Right? So my fix for this is on the subway in particular, but I think in general, I know that they have like, their dog parks and things like that. But like, let's have a car specifically on the subway where you say, okay, if you're going to bring your dog on the train, it has to be in the first or the last car.
Yeah.
Right? If you're going to bring your dog to this restaurant, like you said, they have to sit on the ground. They can't be roaming. There have to be specific rules or specific areas.
Yeah.
You want to bring your dog to this restaurant, the dog people sit over here.
Or maybe there's like a dog hour at the restaurant. You know, remember during the pandemic when they were like, this time is for elderly people and immunocompromised people to come to the grocery store.
Yes.
Because, you know, they want to be able to make sure that everybody has a mask on, whatever. That at a restaurant would be cool. I like your idea of a dog car on the train. I would add that they need to have those like the crates built in. Like the kinds that you see when you board your dog. Because some people's dogs, again, Flex, for example, I've had him for 3 years and you know he has come leaps and bounds.
Oh,
but
my God,
sometimes he sees a certain dog and it sets him off. And so I would be worried about taking him onto a dog car on the train and him just seeing a dog where he's like, I'll kill your whole family. You fucking look at me like, you looking at me? What are you want to step to? And I'm like, oh my God, I'm so embarrassed. But then if you could put him inside one of those little crates, then I'm like, okay, I will feel more comfortable in that space. You might be mad, but at least you're inside the crate. No, you're not going to mess with anyone. I love that idea. I also just think that like, if you have a pet in a large city, you just have to acknowledge that there's some things you're not going to be able to do. You have an animal now. You can't, you know, I I've always had small sized dogs, but I've seen people bring like giant German shepherds on the plane and have them like inside the seat area.
No,
like, sorry, you got a road trip. You can't bring that on the plane unless you're willing to put the dog under the thing. And I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. Ooh, it's terrifying.
That's scary, right?
It's terrifying. But like, you made a choice to get an animal this big, and now there's just some things you're not going to be able to do. Like, it's just, you made this choice, right? Like, it's
right.
This was not thrust upon you. Like, you were not a protected class of people.
That part. And people want to be a protected class. Right. They want to go, well, like, what am I supposed to do? You're supposed to get a smaller dog, or like you said, you're supposed to road trip.
Right. Or take the Greyhound, or they now have like specialty services that will transport your pet cross country.
Really?
And I know that they do that because some people, for example, will buy specific dog breeds from other countries and they'll send the dog to the United States on these special carriers. and they have a person that travels with the dogs, for example.
Oh, nice.
It's more expensive, no doubt. But again, if you choose to have a dog, that's
especially
just
if you're buying some bougie ass dog from another country. Shit.
Hello. I will say, I met someone at a Christmas party who told me that he got scammed via Craigslist about a cat. And they did that to him. They were like, yeah, yeah, yeah. The cat's coming from this country. Here's the fee. He paid the fee. And then when the cat supposedly got to the US or was supposed to get on the plane, they were like, oh, the cat doesn't have the right kind of carrier. You need to pay $400 and we'll reimburse you. And then he was like, this is a scam. And I said, sir, you were buying a cat on Craigslist and they sent you a picture? A picture and a video of a cat on Craigslist? Go take your ass to the ASPCA and get a cat.
Absolutely. Or I mean, New York, we have those little like the little dog pup huts, but they have those ones for cats. Don't buy them from those places because evidently they have a lot of problems.
Oh, you mean the
little storefronts?
Oh yeah, don't buy a pet from there. Adopt, not shop.
Adopt, not shop. Mm-hmm. I mean, listen, if I'm gonna get another dog, I'm gonna shop. Because I need a designer dog. I need not a designer dog from another country.
You want a puppy? You want like a special breed? You want to know all of the things about it?
I know all the things about it because I would never. I don't want to put another puppy through that.
Yeah,
me being like, I love you.
Well, you know what? Goodbye. Lesson learned. I mean, again, I think it is better to have adopted and lost than to never have adopted. But I'm trying to Shakespeare it and it's not working.
I appreciate you.
But you get where I'm going. You tried it. It didn't work. And you made the right choice by making sure that the dog had a good home to go to versus that's how my man ended up on the street. Somebody said, you bit my child. I'll put you
and then
up.
Just put him on the
put
street.
Him on the street.
Wow. Friends, I adopted a dog during around the same time Francesca got flexed during the pandemic. She ain't like my ass. So she's now back with her foster mom.
She's in a better place.
Her.
Not,
she has
not
a big
dead
yard.
Place. Just a better place.
She's living a much better life.
Yes.
Actually, I heard this thing recently. Somebody said, because I'm not a cat person, but my friends that are cat people that think I'm a cat person, they said the people who are cat people wish that they were cats. And people who are dog people wish that their dogs were human. And I was
interesting. I think that's true.
People who I know have cats, they are obsessed with cats.
Yeah.
They're like, no, but this. And I'm like, no, it's just not for me.
Yeah. I can't with cat people always trying to convince me, my cat's different. My cat's like a dog. No, it's not. It's a cat. They always say that. No, this one's different. And I'm like, no, it's absolutely not. Does it shit in a little box in your closet? Then it's a cat.
Looks like a cat to me. Looks like a cat to me. What's your next one, friend?
Okay, my last topic is Nepo babies. Now, listen, there's been a lot of discourse in the past 2 years. I feel like Nepo babies have been all over the news. They're nothing new. I mean, we have so many Nepo babies. But for whatever reason, there's been a lot of discussion around, like, is it fair? People that are, you know, have famous parents that are in music and in acting and maybe don't have the skills to back it up. And I would argue that Nepo babies exist in every industry, right? Your dad owns a bank, you probably gonna own a bank, right?
Yes.
Your family has a restaurant, you probably are gonna be the manager in that restaurant. It happens. My pitch is that if they're going to be Nepo babies, we need some sort of scholarship program for normal babies, meaning you don't have a famous or well-connected parent. So for example, if we are going to put Lily Rose Depp in a TV show, and she ain't got no credits to her name other than her daddy is Johnny Depp, which, you know, we won't even get into him.
Right.
You also have to hire a normal baby. For every, it's, you know, a one for one. A BOGO.
Affirmative action.
Yes.
Affirmative action in the industry.
Yes. But I would say, again, I would say that in any industry. If your law firm is going to hire the son or daughter of one of the partners, you also have to make sure you have a normal baby that you are also hiring. Like, it needs to be a one for one so that we're always making sure we're giving an opportunity to somebody who wouldn't normally have gotten a chance to get their foot in the door.
I love that, because I also, like, when the Nepo baby thing kind of blew up, I think a year or two ago, when I think it was with New York Times Magazine, they had a whole cover diagram, yes. And they kept pumping them out.
Ben Platt was on there.
As he should
be. He was very mad about it, too.
Listen, you benefited from that. Like, I don't understand why
they get mad about it. And it's like this thing of like, yeah, but you're still famous. You're still rich. You're mad that people are talking about you. Like,
right.
You better be happy people are talking about you, because that's how you stay relevant.
And that's how you got to where you are. It's not saying you're untalented. We're saying you had a leg up.
Right.
And I think to your point about having the one for one, having the affirmative action of it, if like you're saying, well, yeah, I'm a Nepo baby, but we also hired A, B, and C to combat that. That balances out, right? Then you have an argument. You have a retort, yeah, as it were, when that argument pops up.
The other thing is, too, is like whenever the Nepo baby thing comes up, and there's always somebody who's like, it's not fair. I have to work hard. Gwyneth Paltrow, I think, was the one who was like, in some ways, I had to work harder because people didn't believe that I could do it. And it's like, you didn't have to work harder. I'm sure it hurt your feelings when people assumed that you didn't have talent or you didn't earn your spot. The problem is Nepo babies who pretend as if it's the same. Kendall Jenner, I changed my name on my modeling cards. I took Jenner
like
off.
Nobody knew who you were. Like,
you were on a television show since birth, mama. Like, your sonogram was famous before you
literally
fucking got here. So like,
literally,
just this idea of like, but if you just did admit, like, I think it was Maya Hawke, she's Ethan Hawke and Uma Thurman's daughter. She said something that I was very impressed, because she's very young. She's like in her 20s. And she said something like, my parents have been so supportive and I'm so thankful that they showed me that there was a path to success in this career and that they helped open doors for me. And I wouldn't I would be naive to pretend that they didn't help me. That's all you have to say. Like, you know,
that part.
I don't need a dissertation. Just admit that they held doors open for you. Even the simple fact that they have the money so that you didn't have to work a part-time job while you were auditioning.
That.
You didn't have to do a showcase to get an agent. You said, Mom, I think I want to do this acting thing. Okay.
And
here.
You know some people who made some calls, right? Like you said, and it happens in every industry.
Yes.
I don't understand why you're... feathers are ruffled when people call it out.
I think it's a symptom of their privilege, right? Because like, let's be honest, like, this is hurting your feelings because you ain't got nothing else to be hurt feelings over.
People
are dying. Like, this is what you're upset about.
Well, also like, if you went Maya's route, then all we can say is, well, you're still a Nepo baby. And she's like, yeah, so
yeah.
Like, it like just deflates the argument. You know
exactly
what I mean?
Exactly. And again, you just need a one-liner that's like absolutely. And again, I think even this idea of the normo babies one for one, I would say that'd be a really great way for Nepo babies to get ahead of it, to go, yeah, my parents did give me this leg up, and that's why I volunteer at this local theater camp and I help kids who don't have family in the industry so that I can show them some of the things, you know what I mean? Or like, I started a program that brings agents to local schools or something. I don't freaking know, but something where they're like, I give back.
What is your TikTok song?
Instead of an empty apology, write a check. Yeah,
write a check. It's the version of writing a check.
Right. Honestly, Delon, thank you for shouting out my song. That is what inspired me, because when we did our bad apologies episode, I felt like a broken record. I was like, write a check to a charity. Shout out somebody, you know, whoever it was that you were wronged. Spend the money to send them a basket. Like, do the action that shows that you're repairing the harm. And I think the Nepos could get, y'all should get a little charity together. Throw some coins together and do a scholarship.
Well, and listen, I don't think altruism actually exists, but like, that's altruistic because I think to continue that thought, altruism, you get just as much by giving or by doing as the person that's receiving the gift or the action from you. But it's altruism. It's also like, it would make me feel good to be like, well, listen, I have all these resources and I didn't have to do A, B, and C.
Yeah.
So let me go to the local university's theater department and say, hey, how can I help out? I'm going to choose one student that I can mentor or that I can introduce
to. Or do like
ABC.
A shadow program. Come to set with me.
A shadow program. Yeah, I would have loved that as a young theater kid.
I would have loved that. And even if it's just like a one-day thing or like a, you know, there's the social media version of it. It's like, come do an Instagram live with our class
yes.
and talk to them or, you know, take some behind the scenes footage and send it to us and answer our questions. Like I've done that before where a former classmate of mine is a teacher and she asked if she could send me a bunch of questions for her class, for her middle schoolers. I answered the questions on video and sent it to them. And she was like,
lovely.
they loved it. It took 10 minutes out of my day.
Right.
And again, for someone who is in an extreme level of privilege and access, it's nothing to give a class 30 minutes of your time.
No,
nothing.
No. Last thing I'll say about this is like, I will say like their own imposter syndrome, mm-hmm. like is a nuanced layer mm-hmm. in there. The reason you're getting so butt sore about people calling you out is because you don't think
yeah.
that you deserve it
yeah.
in some ways. And so I would just
Jamie
offer
Lee
that.
Curtis. Jamie Lee is like, that's right. My mama okay. and daddy were famous. And what? And guess what? I've been in the game X amount of years. And I'd never been called a Nepo baby. Y'all don't even think about the fact that my parents were famous.
And there's so many celebrities that were in that first expose mm-hmm. that I didn't know were Nepo babies. I was like, oh, shit, how are you connected
right.
to this?
But to your point about the imposter syndrome, whenever somebody's on screen and I'm like, now, how the hell did they get this job? And then I look them up and I'm like, oh. Well, they're a Nepo baby. That makes sense.
You know what's so funny? I watched, you know that show, The Boys, the Amazon mm-hmm. Prime show, The Boys?
Dennis so Quaid's son.
Jack Quaid.
He's good.
I was like, that was what made me look. I was like, who is this guy?
Meg Ryan is his mama.
Meg Ryan and Dennis Quaid, they had one baby and it is Jack Quaid and he's very, very talented.
He's very good.
I looked him up because I was like, this guy is good. Mm-hmm. How would I have never seen him before? And I was like, and then you look at him, you're like, oh, I can see both of them in his face.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That was when I was like shocked because I was like, oh God, I didn't have that. Like, who is this guy and how did he get this
right.
job? I was like,
the other version. And again, I would also add on the topic of the imposter syndrome, the other version of it is you do have a lot to live up to. But like mm-hmm. how exciting when you see somebody who's talented and then you go, oh, well, no wonder. Both of their parents
right.
are good actors.
Right.
Okay, Jack, I'm not surprised. You better get it together. Like, you know, surprising and impressing us with your very first big credit. Like, I love that for him.
So my last round robin fix is alumni associations.
Ooh, he said that with a little, okay.
Okay.
Talk to
okay.
us.
So here's... I believe that alumni associations are often pitched to us. For those of us, I know some of us haven't gone to university. So, you know, if you haven't gone to college or university or post, you know, high school, you may not know. Well, I guess your high school would have an alumni
yeah.
association. But anyway, they're often pitched to us as like networking opportunities, right? Hey, join our alumni association for $1,200 a year. And you
well,
get
that's
access
what that's
to
that's what they get you.
And this is my point,
mm-hmm.
right? Because they're often asking me for something without me understanding what the opportunities actually are,
mm-hmm.
right? So what are the networking opportunities? There's something called, we went to University of Michigan, so there's something called UMEC. It's the University of Michigan Entertainment Coalition, I think. And that was just started by some students. It's really not funded or propped up by the University of Michigan. So it's just like a networking thing between, you know, alumni. But like that is a substantive thing where all of these people in the entertainment industry, we get together, we talk about what we do, what we're working on, how we can connect. That's networking,
yeah.
right? And it doesn't cost anything but an hour
now, how
of your
is
time
it,
on
And
Zoom.
How is it that they're able to do that for free? And y'all need $1,200.
This is what I'm saying. Well, and if you're able to show me the opportunity, able to show me what I'm getting, I would probably open my wallet. Mm-hmm. I just got an email from University of Michigan the other day that was like, hey, Merry Christmas. Come support students. Here's what we're doing here and there. And I was like, you realize I haven't paid my student loans off from my undergrad degree,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
I had one girl, I went to grad school as well, the Boston Conservatory, and they had students calling alumni. This was years
current
ago.
Current students?
Current students were as their work study.
No.
We're calling
no.
alumni. I had not
Wait,
graduated.
So they were getting paid to call you and ask you for
yes.
money? No.
Yes. This girl called me and I was like, yo, you realize the pain is still fresh from that school.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't even started. I'm still in deferment. and you're calling me for money. I was like, girl, I don't have no money. Mm-mm. And I was like, and not for nothing, but you do not need to be calling. You'd be called people that graduated 10, 15 years ago from
but also,
their
like,
graduation
what a
date.
Shaft job for work study. Work study, you're supposed to be.
It's telemarketing.
You're supposed to be learning something. Yeah, you're a telemarketer. Yeah, my high school has an alumni program. And I will say, they do solicit money. It's not like you're paying a yearly membership or whatever. But I will say that I haven't been home in years, but my high school throws like a big holiday party every year. Mm-hmm. And it's always at like a really nice location. It's always open bar. It's always a lot of food and people get dressed up. And I know like our money goes to that, for example.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I know that when we had like our 20-year reunion, you had to pay for that. So the money wasn't going to that. And I know that they have like scholarship programs for graduates, and they also put out like a newsletter, and they do like, I went to an art school, so they do like a Christmas concert, and they do all these different like performances, and they do an art show auction and those types of things. So I know that the money goes to those things. But right. I've not given Michigan any money because I didn't finish my degree there.
I haven't given anybody any money, Michigan or the Boston Conservatory. Because I'm not really in a position, but to I could have. I mean, I give a lot of money politically, and
I gave
Wikipedia some money because I use her ass a lot.
But I think that you have a valid point that like if you're giving the money, which is why I brought up School of the Arts in West Palm. Like, if I'm going to give you money, I need to know what that money is going towards.
What's the transaction?
And what do I get? And what do I get out of it? You know?
I mean, I hate philanthropy is philanthropy, and that's why they're doing it. They're doing it for the benefit of the students, the benefit of the university. If you have the means and you're an alumnus to give money and a significant amount of money, more power to you, good on you. But like for the person who's maybe going to give $100 up to $5, like I'm not giving a bunch of money. I'm not like, creating a scholarship program or building a building at the University of Michigan. Right. So for me, I need them to be like, hey, I love the idea of having an event. Hey, come to this big event. Come to the big this big football game with the University of Michigan.
Yeah,
and
like almost like box seats, not box seats, but like you could have a ticket to a game once a month or something.
And we have, you know, very much like my 40th birthday, we have a weekend of events, and here, you can come and do all this stuff, and here's what you'll get, and here's who you'll meet. And not only would I probably pay to do all of that stuff, but I probably give some money, right? Or the event could raise money, and also tie me into the university and understand what it means to be in the alumni association. Yeah. Because they're not a lot of emails anymore, because they probably go to my spam now, but they're enough to the point where I'm like, yo, actually one of our classmates had a big during the pandemic, had a big gathering for a bunch of us from our theater department. And I was like, oh my God, this is so lovely. And it really was lovely to see a bunch of people that you haven't seen before and catch up with them and, you know, babies
spreader.
And all this kind of stuff. It was on Zoom. It was on Zoom.
You were like, it was during the pandemic. Totally huge gathering. 200 people.
Can you imagine? Girl, no. It was 2021. But then at the end of it, I didn't realize she worked for the Alumni Association. Oh. And I was like, oh, I mean, it was a good pitch, right? Because it got us in the room, and it was
very
hard.
So then they asked you for money at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit.
Or they asked us to sign up for the Alumni Association. And I was like, oh, that feels like a little surreptitious, right?
Yeah.
It feels like a little like undercut. I wish I would have known that from the beginning. But it filled my heart, it filled my cup up a little bit. So I was like, oh, okay, well, maybe.
Yeah,
nothing
I mean,
about
here's
it.
The thing. Because that was during the pandemic, I understand it being on Zoom. But it's that thing of like, you know what it is? It's like the continental breakfast that they give you before then that they pitch you on the timeshare.
On the timeshare.
Give me something. Yeah. I mean, listen, we did it when we were at the resort.
We sure did.
You know, we were like, okay, you're going to feed us. And we're going to get these points that we can use at the spa. That's what the Alumni Association needs to do. It needs to give you some sort of dinner, some sort of gala.
Yes.
I would love like an alumni showcase. Like, let's have some performances by alumni. Get dressed up. Have a step and repeat. You know what I mean?
I love that. Like, make it a whole event.
Make it an event and make it so that like the community can come and students can come. Maybe there's some sort of like talk back session with some of the alumni. It's a, you know, you wear a sparkly dress, you wear a sensible heel, there's tickets, there's dinner, or there's maybe an auction or something like that.
And then at the end, I really love this.
There's like a booklet with, you know, pictures and stuff. And then you ask people for money.
Yes. And I mean, once everyone's tipsy enough, you know, they're gonna be like, "Why, this is such a great night. Yes. It was so lovely. How could I not?"
When I worked for the Chamber of Commerce, that's exactly what we would do. You had all these expensive auction items. Once people were liquored up, they were fighting for all sorts of stuff. You're like, "This is a bracelet from Claire's." People are like, "I want it."
Because it becomes the gamification of it, right? So funny.
Oh my gosh. Well, I have to say the second installment of the Round Robin Games was a banger. But is anyone surprised? I'm not. But before we go into everyone's favorite segment, let's go ahead and take a quick break.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we're back. Now it's time for our very favorite segment, The Glow Up, where we give props to those who turn themselves around without our help. Fran, why don't you go first?
Okay, so my glow up this week goes to Toys R Us. Now, this was very interesting to me because I had thought to myself when I saw them in the news, I was like, I have not seen a Toys R Us in forever. They were once a staple, you know, the 80s and 90s for shopping, for the holidays. But like many beloved brands, they really struggled to adapt as we went to a more of an online space. And now there's so many places to buy toys. And the last two physical locations actually closed in 2021, and then they got acquired by another company, WHP Global. So now they are like pivoting. They're like, what are we going to do to try and bring Toys R Us back? And they've decided that in 2024, they are going to expand to airports and cruise lines, which I thought was very, like, I don't know. I'm curious to hear what you think about this strategy. But my thinking is, if you're on a cruise or you're in an airport, you probably have some money. And you're traveling, holidays, you might have kids with you as you're traveling. Yes. They're going to see the big Toys R Us logo. It's very colorful. Toys, you know, just the word is small and short and easy for kids to pick up on. And so I'm guessing, but they're thinking that this is going to be a way to get new customers. I think it's smart.
I think it's super smart because, like, you know, you and I spend a lot of time in airports. And depending on where you are, the size of the city, sometimes you'll be like, yo, this is a fucking JFK. I was like, this is a shopping mall.
Yeah.
This is literally a shopping mall. Or like going through the, what do you call that? The duty-free area. In some airports, you have to, I think it was Spain or somewhere, you have to go through miles of duty-free stuff to buy.
I don't shop in those things, but I always see mad people shopping in there.
Listen, I'll give a look. I'll give a look here and there.
You never bought anything like alcohol or something? A lot of people buy
alcohol one time.
Yeah, like I'm leaving different countries. They have like all the specialty, whatever the liqueurs are. The place.
I love a mezcal. So like if I'm coming from Mexico, I'll buy some mezcal.
Yeah.
But I think it's brilliant because like, I don't know what you call this marketing wise, but having your kids see some toy as you're walking by, like their kid's gonna freak out and you're like, oh god, yeah, okay, great.
Or it's
you're
like
also
you have
on vacation.
Or you have a long layover and you're like, let me just buy a board game or something for my kid. Or a new game from the Nintendo Switch or whatever. And same with on the cruise ship, right? Like you're on there, you clearly have some disposable income. I think it's very smart. Right. They also opened a Toys R Us inside of a Macy's. They made like a specialty like flagship store inside of like a shopping mall. And I guess it's like inside of a Macy's. And I thought that was also really interesting because again, it's like instead of having a brick and mortar store, which a lot of people don't go to anymore, right? Like malls are kind of already dying and a few people have pitched us we should do a mall episode.
Oh no, shopping mall is on our
list. It's definitely on our list. But I will say brands like Macy's and Nordstrom, like those are stores that seem to kind of have staying power. So it makes sense that a Toys R Us would be like, help us. Can we please like have a corner of your store so we can pick up some foot traffic? And so
it took long enough. It took all of the stores to fucking close before they revitalized the brand, but like good on
you. They had to get bought by another company who's like, we gotta step shit up. Whatever we were doing in the past is not working. So I'm curious to see how it works out. Cause again, I'm not somebody that shops in the airport, but I know people do. I wonder if we will see other brands taking this approach because I think it's smart.
I think the cruise ship thing is really smart. I mean, airports seem like low-hanging fruit just because like commerce is already built into that experience and into the airports. But like a cruise ship is so smart because it's a souvenir, right? I bought this thing on the Disney Cruise Line, and I'm sure, you know, Toys R Us would be smart to partner with Disney, but I'm sure Disney has their own toys and whatever on their cruise lines. But that's also just brilliant. Like it's a built-in thing on the ship. You take a thing away, you pack one or two toys from your experience.
And you see it over and over again. There's that thing of like, you need to sometimes see a brand or see a product multiple times before you buy it. If you're on the cruise ship for 2 weeks or a week, you might not shop at the Toys R Us store the first day you're there, but by day five, after your kid has gone by it five times and they're like, please let us go in there, then you're going to end up probably buying something.
Yeah, it's so funny. It just surprised me of like the negotiations a parent makes with their kid. Like the last day, I told you the last day, we will get it on the last day before we go, right?
Yeah.
And then you get, and don't let it be a black mom, get in there and she'd be like, nuh-uh, I said from that wall. I say from that under $20.
Yes.
You know.
All right. What's your glow up?
This is news to Fran and to you all in the class. We've been toying with Astea.
Yes.
And like incorporating that into our show. And we might make this a full segment. But my glow up today is actually Astea.
Okay. Let's hear it.
So I'm giving my stay up to Naomi Elaine Campbell.
I didn't know her middle name was Elaine. But Naomi?
Naomi Campbell. I didn't know this. She was the first black woman to appear on the covers of Time and Vogue France.
Oh. Ever.
And all of history. But I mean, this woman, I mean, she's 53 years old. She's been modeling since she was eight, right?
Eight?
So she has a whole...
Eight?
Eight.
I did not know that.
8 years old. Yeah. She has been modeling her entire life. She sold her soul to the same devil that J-Lo did because her face, her body it's stunning. And there aren't many people that can say, models, I'll say, that are still walking like top 10 runways that are coveted.
Because when you hit 25, they're like, you're
it's
too
over.
Old. I watched enough Top Model to know. They're like, you're old. You're not gonna book anymore.
Well, and I don't know if it's her controversial attitude. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, she's always in the news. She went to, she threw an iron at somebody.
She threw a phone
and went to
at somebody.
Something happened. She's like done some stuff to assistants. We've seen her on multiple reality shows where she's really catty and a little cutthroat.
Her and Tyra had beef forever.
Yeah, I wonder if that was manufactured.
It was very real because Tyra had Naomi on her talk show and confronted her about it. And it was great because Naomi didn't really back down. She was like, and what? She was like, girl. She was like, yeah, I mean, some of that's in your head, but sure. Yeah, that sounds like me. Mm-hmm. She stood 10 toes down.
Yo, this is why she's my stay-up, because like she's also like, she delivers, right? She has a big attitude and a big personality and she's catty and a little bitchy, but she also, you see her walk down a runway.
Like,
I saw her recently,
I get it.
Last fashion season. I was like, okay, well, damn. you're still doing that?
Yeah.
Then yes. You're wearing 5-inch, whatever the inch of heel is. Mm-hmm. You're wearing this stiletto, pumping down a runway with these other girls half your age and taking up space. Yeah. It's beautiful.
And really creating a signature walk. And we don't have signature walks anymore. Now all the girls just kind of like, just walk with
one person,
like a statue, like zombie walk down the catwalk. But, you know, she was doing the switching of her body and her hair and kind of doing this like S shape as she goes down the runway in this like really entrancing way that's just so effortless. To your point about how she looks so good, did you see, this was pre-pandemic, there was a video that went viral of how Naomi prepares for her flights and she wipes down, she was wearing a mask on the plane pre-pandemic, wiping down every single surface. And I remember it went viral and everyone was like, she's kind of doing too much. And then the pandemic started and she was on the plane like, that's right, bitch. You know, I'll go catch me slipping. She's like, I have work to do. I'm not getting
sick. You know who hasn't had COVID?
Naomi Campbell. Right. Exactly. Okay. And I was like, oh, she was meticulous. And she was like, you know, in like first class in like one of those special little booth areas.
Pods.
And she was like, they don't clean enough for me. Wipe down every surface.
Well, and that's probably why she looks like that, because she's like, I'm paying attention to everything about my health. I have one body.
Yes.
My body,
and my body
is my
instrument. My moneymaker.
Yeah. My whole my body is it. The other thing I was wanting to circle back to you talking about the walk. I have this theory that because models are so thin and their hips just don't accentuate the way some fuller sized women do, the reason that they have the step in front and they're like, is to get the hips moving so that you can really see that S shape and see the clothes moving on their body.
Yeah.
I'm not a model. I've never modeled. I barely watched Top Model, so I don't know. But that's like my theory, is that like it's kind of what do you call that?
It's like an optical illusion.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's there's actually a documentary, I think it's on Hulu, and it's called The Models. It's really interesting, and it's about the era of the supermodel, including Naomi, Linda Evangelista, Christy Turlington, Cindy Crawford, that whole crop. And it was really interesting because like one of the things that they revealed is that like those models, including Naomi, and I would argue Naomi was probably like most responsible as the black model who really stood out, is that their faces became so recognizable that the brands, like the designers, were pissed off about it. They were mad that people were talking about who walked the runway instead of the clothes. And that's what the pendulum swing to having the super boring models that all looked the same.
Uh-huh.
And having a lot of like white girls that all had like, you know, slicked back hair,
gaunt,
minimal makeup, really like almost like just a clothing hanger versus these big personalities that had like a signature walk and like a wink at the end of the runway and like giving you like body and just playfulness. They called it the Prada effect because Prada was one of the first fashion
that really
shows
pissed about it.
That was like, yeah, we're just going to do. And Karl Lagerfeld, too. He was like, these bitches are getting too big for their britches. We just want the same face now down the runway.
What's so crazy is that like it's just another tentacle to elevate your brand, right? Because even now, like if you have a Naomi walking, you're like, oh, my God, Naomi Campbell's walking. So it is about Naomi, but it's also she's walking Prada. She's walking Karl Lagerfeld.
Didn't see it that way. I mean, it was
it's ego.
Yeah,
it's
and it really did create like a new look. Like, remember all the girls were very alien looking with those big ass eyes.
Otherworldly.
Even when they would have a black girl, she would kind of look similar in that like weird alien-y look.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very specific thing. And I would argue that even though all of those icons were responsible for it, Naomi to me was always the one that really, really stood out. And I think, you know, it's like the skin, the hair, the vibe, the energy.
There's an energy, right? And listen, Naomi Campbell wears that same old wig. It might be chopped and it might be asymmetrical.
She's on the beach. She's on a plane. She's on a boat.
It is that same long jet black hair, or it might be Auburn or something like that. She might switch it up.
It's always dark though.
but you know that her brand is strong.
Yes.
You know, so you also know what you're getting, and I appreciate that. But Naomi Campbell, my stay ups to you, girl.
Stayed up. No glow up needed. So that wraps up this week's episode of Let Me Fix It. And now we want to hear from you. What is something in your life that you think needs fixing? What's your glow up? Who's your stay up? Or maybe you would like to suggest a TV show, a celeb, or a brand that you think that we should fix in a future episode. Please hit us up on Instagram at fixitpod or send us an email, letmefixitpod@gmail.com.
And as always, if you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to give us a rating on iTunes, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Have you done this before?
No. I'm DeLon.
I'm Francesca.
And this was Let Me Fix It.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.